I'm Jamie Rickard.
And I'm Tracy Sullivan, and we're the Career Coaches of Fisher.
So today we're talking about professionalism, especially with interviews ramping up for internships, whether that's for the spring semester, shockingly, I know, and for jobs. So your presentation and behaviors in the job search can either help or hinder the outcomes. And I know, Tracy, you had an article that we're going to be jumping into. So tell me a little bit, it was a news story, right?
Yes. So I saw, it was actually, I don't even know what it was from, but I saw it two places. One was actually on the news, and the other was on the TikTok.
The TikTok.
My new favorite social media platform. I wish I never got on it.
Late to the game.
Sucks up hours of my life.
I was going to say, I've lost so much time.
But it is from a recent, it's a survey from intelligent.com that was done in December 2023. And what stuck out to me is it listed some interview behavior that employers said they were experiencing from recent graduates.
Yeah.
And it was bananas.
This is bananas.
So 53% of employers said that interviewees struggled with eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not really surprising.
Yep.
50% asked for unreasonable compensation.
Yeah, and we'll talk about all of these things in detail after we go through.
Yep. 47% were dressed inappropriately. 27% used inappropriate language.
Yep.
21% refused to turn on a camera during a virtual interview. And the kicker is 19% brought a parent to the interview with them.
That one absolutely sent me. I cannot believe that. But I think, you know, we owe it to the listeners to dig into some of these because I do think, I mean, me personally, even working with students in appointment settings, sometimes I've experienced some of these things, particularly with the video. Like not turning on your video for a virtual appointment and, you know, the inappropriate language. I've seen that in even interviews with student employees, which, you know, again, I think we got to talk about all this stuff because even though our environment and our work environments have become a little bit more casual after COVID, I think we have to be very, very careful. And students especially, we have to set up this professionalism and the expectations that employers have, you know, in advance. So I think this is a great topic that we're talking about today.
I agree. And I think, you know, I just talked to a student yesterday. We were doing a mock interview. And I think one of the things that I say to all students is you're asked for an interview. At the point that you're asked for an interview, on paper, they like what they see. You meet the qualifications of the position. They think that you have the skills to do the job. They think you're a fit for the position. So they're not really interviewing you to see any of those things. They are interviewing you to see if you're going to fit in with the team, the organization, if you have those professional skills.
Yes.
And if you do actually have what we call like those career competencies, the communication, the professionalism, the problem solving.
Right.
So kind of starting off with, you know, the eye contact, that's kind of professionalism 101. And we know that there's specific situations and
maybe cultural
disabilities.
Yes. And I want to speak to that too, because even though it was a very high percentage that employers ranked in this survey about struggling with eye contact, we know that there are various, you know, disabilities and or cultural reasons why you might not use as much eye contact. We're mostly talking about feeling like you're engaged with the employer. I think that's usually where they feel the disconnect is if they're not feeling like you're engaging and there is that look away more often than there is engaging in the conversation. And I think that also goes to affect because sometimes it's not even just the eye contact. It's also looking like you're bored to be there. And that could be nerves, but you want to try to have that enthusiasm along with the eye contact.
And I do want to say that employers know that too. So yeah. when we say, you know, the cultural disabilities, employers are aware yes. of that. So that's really not captured in that 53%.
That's true.
These are people that are just not making the eye contact.
Right.
That are not connecting. And really, it's kind of like that tell me about yourself response. Like if you're not connecting at that first moment, you've kind of lost them at that point.
Which is hard, sad to say, but it's true. You want to talk about the salary one? I think that, I mean,
yeah.
I think when you're, so that 50% that said recent grads asked for unreasonable compensation, I think, you know, we talk about the wage gap, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about how we need to know our worth. And knowing our worth doesn't mean that we should ask for an insane number based on what the position is and based on our research. We have to do the research before we can say, this is where I would right. feel based on my skill set that I would like to be.
I think this goes back to both kind of professionalism and critical thinking skills. You have to absolutely know your worth and advocate for it, but you also have to be reasonable.
Right.
And I'm going to go back in time and talk about like my first job. I was working at a place. I had no idea what like a normal salary was. Right. And I remember like my boss had kind of said, oh, we'd love to like have you on and move you up and have you work with us. And he was, you know, like, well, what kind of salary would you be looking for? And I was like,
I don't know. Like, what do you
20,000?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know about benefits. I didn't right. know about
taxes.
Fringe. My parents never talked to me about a thing. I mean, granted, at that time, I think minimum wage was like $5 an hour.
Yep.
But still, I didn't know anything. With that in mind, he was like, okay.
Right. They're
we'll
excited
give it
to get
you
a deal.
Right now.
Yeah.
But you have to do your research. And we've talked about this before. Now with New York State, they do have the salary transparency law. But with that in mind, too, what you will see is wages that go from $58,000 to $170,000.
Right. That's the range that the job posting is going to say.
And that is the absolute minimum to the absolute maximum that someone will make at the point of retirement.
Right.
So for you to come in and say like, yeah, I think I deserve $150,000 is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
And they will know that.
Right.
So you have to use the resources that are available to you, know what the entry level range is, know what you bring to the table, and be able to advocate for why you might deserve more. Do you have years of experience? Include, you know, look at your work history. Do you have years of customer service experience? Do you have, you know, particular technology knowledge that the job requires that most people don't have?
Yeah, and on previous episodes, we have talked about salary.com and payscale.com to determine, are you in the appropriate range mm-hmm. based on city and state, based on, again, years of experience, as you just mentioned. So there are resources to support finding that information. It's not as though it's you know, hidden. But I do think it's important also, there is a degree of pay your dues. And I think that is, for some reason, that is not what people want to hear.
Yeah.
But you're not going to go into a brand new job out of college being the manager of a division.
Correct.
You are going to have to start at the bottom, just like in most fields. And I think if you're willing to do the work, that's where those promotional opportunities come in. But one of the questions you can ask in your interview is, what are the mobility options within the job? Like, is this a position where you tend to promote others, you know, in the field into the division? And that might be a good way to see, do I have the ability to earn more over time? Or is this a position that's, you know, pretty much you're in the role and that's it?
And also look at other, we call it fringe, you know, what you can get from the company. Like
right.
you might be taking, you know, an entry level salary, but do they have tuition assistance? Can you get your master's degree while you're there? Can you take advantage of having them pay for your, you know, membership in professional associations? Can you go to trainings, get certifications, and then in 2 to 5 years, move on and get that promotion elsewhere?
Exactly. Great. We got to talk about the attire.
Yes. So. All right. I remember I used to work at a place where every summer at our team meeting on Friday, my boss would unfortunately have to have the discussion of attire, and she would have to go through and actually like say, and this was a professional place, but we would have to have this discussion. Yeah. And it involved like what a tank top was and what appropriate shoes were and what, you know, like, let's just go back to high school. Like three finger, what is that? The finger rule.
Yeah, for your shorts.
Listen, listen to the adults in your life. And my child, if she listens to this, which I know she probably wouldn't, but because you never listen to your mom, do you? Listen to the adults in your life. Yeah. We know what we're talking about. And you do want to dress for the job you want. And I know I just sent Jamie a meme the other day.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. about remote work. So, essentially, wear sweatpants to work. So yeah. that, you know, you can show that you want to be a remote employee, which is funny.
And that was a joke because we knew this was coming up.
Yes.
You do want to dress for the job you want. So, even if you know the company that you're interviewing with, that everybody wears jeans and hoodies every single day, you do not show up to an interview in that.
Right. And you want to be comfortable too. I mean, I understand the professional look can feel very stifling, but at the same time, if you're not comfortable physically, you can find professional clothes that are comfortable and not sort of give away that, you know, professionalism with outfits, because it does tell the employer I'm put together.
Yes.
I'm organized. Like, I care about the image I'm presenting to you.
Listen, I hate a pantsuit. I hate a blazer.
Sucks.
But I still can figure out a professional outfit to wear to an interview.
Yeah. And on some occasions, the employer may tell you, listen, we're a casual environment. So, you know, they might preemptively tell you before the interview, but I haven't really seen that much.
Mm-hmm. No crop tops.
No short skirts. Again, avoid tight clothes. It's just a comfort level thing for everyone. Super high heels if you're not used to wearing them. And that goes with all the other things, like not too much cologne or a lot of jewelry or a heavy amount of makeup. Or again, if you're not going into an industry that sort of embraces that artistic expression and it's more of a conservative environment, you might want to, again.
No jeans.
Right.
Wear a suit. I think you should wear a tie.
Yeah, I do too.
What's next? Oh, inappropriate language.
Yeah. Again, casual environment, we're thinking, well, everybody does that. Everybody uses, you know, some curse words to have relatability. And that should not be a part of your psyche when you go into an interview at all. It just shows unprofessionalism, period.
Yeah.
And listen, we love it sometimes, but.
And even, you know, what do they call it? Like, slang, vernacular, things like that, not really appropriate for an interview.
No.
Like, I'm not going to go into an interview and be like, that's so mint.
Yeah. Mint. Is it mid?
No, it's mint.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, not the way the kids are saying it.
Well, that's how I said it.
But yeah, avoid any swear words, period. Period. It is just not a good look.
Period dot.
Period dot. Refusing to turn on a camera during an interview.
Come on, man.
I know.
No.
Yeah, you have to, especially if it's one thing if you're having tech issues, but I think most people know by this point that it's not really a tech issue. You just didn't want to turn on the camera.
And honestly, like, you should be checking those tech issues beforehand,
for sure. And with the dress comment, I'm going to make a comment about the video. If you're getting on an interview online, you want to still dress the part. I've always said, even if they can't see your entire outfit, I think for your confidence level and to just get you in the zone, it almost helps your posture when you're dressed up nice and you feel ready and, you know, able to take on this interview. Mm-hmm. I think you should fully dress, even for a phone interview. I know I'm being crazy, but I think that it really puts you in the zone.
It does. But really, like, with the camera, I know people that if the camera's not on, they'll reschedule the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And if you refuse to turn your camera on, because remember, that statistic was refused to turn the camera on. Not couldn't get the camera on. It was refused. You're not getting a second interview. So you've wasted a lot of people's time.
Yeah.
So consider that bridge burned.
Yes. And make sure when your camera's on, they can actually see your full face. I can't tell you how many times I've been in meetings where the camera's, like, I'm looking up someone's nose or, like, some computers have like the camera on the bottom for some reason, and that automatically shows this like weird angle of someone's face. Yeah. And I think if you can, even borrow. I mean, I know for us, like if you needed a laptop or something, you know, OIT can hook you up and mm-hmm. give you a laptop that has a camera that will be easier for you to, you know, engage with the employer.
Yeah. I know, like for me, depending on where I'm at too, I need to kind of alter how I have the laptop. Yes. So even at my desk, like if I do it on one side, I have to have something underneath. If I do it on the other, yeah, you just have to kind of always be mindful of that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Parent, here's what I'm going to say. If you are really super nervous and you need to bring a parent or a friend with you, they are not your dog. So you can leave them in the car.
Yes.
Unattended. They can roll their window down.
Yes.
Don't bring them in with you because, again, immediately you are not going to get the job.
Yeah, they're going to make assumptions about your ability to
adult
and be independent and autonomously work on items, and it presents as immaturity.
Yes. You know, that's not to say, like, there's situations, but, again, just leave them in the car. And park far away so nobody can see. Because keep in mind, people are looking.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think this, but I remember the front desk were, like, my eyes and ears when I would interview people.
Same.
Like, I would be upstairs, but honestly, like, by the time I went and got them, I already knew stuff that was going on. Like, this person was rude to the front desk, yes. or this person, like, was smoking outside, or this person was doing this. So, like, I already had it all.
Same. I would ask our administrators out front, I'd be like, how did they treat you?
Mm-hmm.
What happened when they came in? And if there was any sort of issue that played into our decision.
Yeah. So to wrap things up.
Yeah. So please come in and see us if you have any questions about upcoming interviews in particular. I know that we mentioned the survey, but there are nuances, and yeah. we understand situationally that you might want to talk through your own, you know, your own job search or internship search and what you might be experiencing in the communication from an employer and how you might navigate that. So as always, just please come in and see us.
And honestly, like the more prepared you are, the more comfortable you feel going into the interview. So if you do come in and see us, like come in with as many questions yes. as you want. And there are no silly questions.
Yeah. I'd rather you ask than go into a meeting like this and have one of these faux pas.
Exactly. And just preparing, like doing a mock interview, I always say this. I would rather have you have a horrible interview with Jamie or myself than with a job you really, really want.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, on that lovely note. This wraps up today's podcast. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and connect with us on LinkedIn. We want to hear from you, please. Ideas for future topics, questions, feedback, email us at ccap@sjf.edu.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We are the Career Coaches of Fisher here for your career.